You know, as Brenda was reading that, this psalm is very special to me, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, do not fear. That's a good reminder of when we're in times of trouble, that God is always there for us. Now, that's not necessarily a topic that I want to speak on this morning. My message this morning is being still in the midst of a noisy world. And so I want to ask you this question. Have you ever struggled with just finding a quiet place in your life? Have you ever felt like you're on a treadmill at the most advanced speed that it could possibly be, and you're just running for dear life, sort of looking like that person on the screen before you, trying to balance a million things? How many remember, and this is really going to date you guys, so you may not want to admit, the Ed Sullivan Show? Do you remember the guy that used to spin the plates? And he'd run around to keep all those plates going? Well, sometimes I feel my life is like that, and I'm sure you could identify with that. But in the midst of that craziness, David writes in this psalm, be still, and know that I am God. There lies the problem. The problem lies with us not being able to be still in this noisy world in which we live. My wife and I were sharing with a couple of folks. We went to a retirement party of a friend last night, someone I went to seminary with, and we were ordained together. And he's Nigerian, so it was an African retirement party. Some of you might have a problem with that because the service was 4.5 hours long. So if we go to 1 hour and 15 minutes, you're already looking at your watches. What a service. And the dances, the African dances. My wife and I got home like at 12:30 in the morning, and I think we were dancing in bed. But the city is noisy. I thought people, when I grew up in Brooklyn, after midnight, they went to bed. Not anymore. It was like Times Square, and it was noisy, and traffic, and buses, and taxis. We live in a noisy world. And it's not always easy being still in this world in which we live. The world, at times, is absolutely insane. And if you watch the news and you see not just what's going on in our little area of Patchogue, but what's going on all around the world, sometimes we just want to say, stop the world, I want to get off. I need a break. Have you ever felt like that? I think we all can say that. You know, the words that David uses, of course, was originally in Hebrew. And the word be still, rapha, has a deep meaning. It means to slacken, to ease the tension. If I had a rubber band right now, our lives oftentimes look like a stretched rubber band. And the Hebrew means lighten up on that tension. Once in a while, release the tension in your life. Let go of that stretched rubber band that we call our lives. And it seems like in this generation, we're in that stretched mode the majority of the time. And he's telling us, be still. Ease the tension on that rubber band of your life. To cease means stop. Once in a while, just stop. To be idle. Anybody have trouble being idle? My wife says I move in my sleep. I actually move in my sleep. This sermon is for me. Cease. Be idle. To be let alone. Most people in our society are not very good at being still. Especially up here in the Northeast. If you go to the Midwest and in places in the South and other places I've had the pleasure of visiting, people are slower. And it drives New Yorkers crazy when we buy something in a store and they're putting one item at a time. Put it in the bag, will you? I mean, that's New Yorkers. We have trouble being still. slowing down the jets a little bit. And Christians, it's not just the world out there, we are some of the greatest offenders as well. And yet, if you read the scriptures, you could plainly see that we are called to go through regular periods of solitude and stillness in our lives, to be still before the Lord, to be still before God. Silence is a commodity that is very rare these days. We're surrounded by noise. I mentioned the traffic that we experienced in Brooklyn last night. Crazy. And then I thought once we got on Jackie Robinson Parkway, things would be better, and it wasn't. Crazy. Traffic. Planes flying overhead. Helicopters fly over my house. Trafficking the rich from Manhattan out to the Hamptons. And I often go, why do you have to fly so low? Music blasting, TVs on all the time, people talking loud, phones ringing. It's just a clutter of noise that we're surrounded by on a regular basis. There's a professor at Wesleyan University in Indiana. He's a professor of religion, and that's what he wrote. He says, silence is abstaining from sound in order to open our spiritual ears and listen more closely to the voice of God. Silence is abstaining from sound in order to open our spiritual ears and listen more closely to the voice of God. And yet, even we Christians sometimes feel that we have to fill every moment of our lives with noise. But the Bible tells us that there are seasons to do that, and there are seasons when we need to be still and be quiet and cease, stop, and ease the tension in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. And then later on in verse 7, it says, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. You know, the phrase silent in that scripture in the Hebrew is similar to that which David writes, being still. It means to hush, to refrain from speaking and making noise, to be still. And there are seasons when we need to do this, my friends. Summer's a great time to do that, to slow down the jets a little bit. Go down to the Great South Bay. Be quiet on the beach. Watch the birds of the air. Look at the beautiful ocean that we live near. If that can't still your life, I don't know. I find that's the greatest place for my wife and I to go, to just be still by the Great South Bay. It has a wonderful effect on us. There's a wonderful promise when we practice being still on a regular basis. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 32 writes, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, and listen to this one, in undisturbed places of rest. And you know what, my friends? I believe this generation, more than any generation, needs undisturbed places of rest. There's people working two jobs. Both spouses are working. The kids are involved in a plethora of activities. It's always this rushed life. And if there was ever a time that we need an undisturbed place of rest, I believe it's today. You ever check into a hotel or a motel? I'll tell you what's the first thing I do. I put that do not disturb thing on the door. I do. It's the first thing I do. I put it right out there. You know why? I don't need my bed folded down and mints put on the pillow. I don't want to hear housekeeping at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm on vacation. Leave me alone. Do not disturb. I want to be quiet. We're all surrounded, my friends, by too much noise, too much clutter, too much busyness. Our minds, our bodies, and everything else seems to be so overtaxed these days. Let me share some of my most recent experiences of what I'm talking about. Besides the traffic in Brooklyn last night, have you ever sat, and this happened to us recently, in a restaurant, and the person in the next booth is of the opinion that you have to listen to their conversation on the cell phone? I don't care that your mother-in-law had a gallbladder taken out yesterday. I'm eating. And they're talking so loud on the phone, and you know, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to say, shh, hush, ease the tension, be quiet, be still. Read that psalm that Brenda read. No stillness. Have you ever tried to find a quiet place to make a cell phone call? You have to go out to the parking lot, go in your car, because everything is so crazy and noisy. A week ago yesterday, I was sitting in my dentist chair, of all places, and 6 inches from my face is a TV screen loudly showing the show Flip This House. He's about to drill into my face, and I have to watch Flip This House. Even in the dentist chair, I could find no rest. Have you been on an elevator? And the noise that's coming from the interior of the elevator, there's speakers embedded in the ceiling of an elevator. And even there, it's noisy. Another thing I noticed, many people, the minute they walk in the house, they got to turn the TV on. Even if they're not watching it, they need that noise in the background. Something's got to be playing all the time. And you know what? In many ways, I'm guilty of that. My wife doesn't watch TV, but I'll have the TV going to get some noise going in the house. I'll also say, hey, Google, play anything. Just those something's in the house making noise. People get in their cars, and the first thing they do, they turn their radios on. They put a CD in there. They have to have noise in the car as well. Last night, I had a young man pull up alongside of us on Jackie Robinson Highway, and I want to tell you something. He had that boombox going so loud that it was shaking our windows. You had to have noise in the car. One of the problems with noise is this. God often speaks in whispers. One of the problems with noise and clutter in our lives is that we can't hear the voice of God. You may recall Elijah. If you turn to 1 Kings, starting at verse 19, you'll remember the story that Elijah fled into the wilderness because he had to get away from the noise in his life. And it says this, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass. So what he was saying to Elijah, God is about to pass you. So be still and wait for that to happen. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a great fire. And the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You know why? The Lord was in the whisper. The stillness. The quietness. Elijah had to get quiet before the Lord in order to hear God's voice. We often miss God because he's whispering in the midst of our noisiness. That's why David said in the psalm that was just read, be still and know that I'm God and you'll hear my voice. God's voice and words are valuable and they're so rewarding. We must be still long enough to hear what he has to say. When we are quiet enough to hear him, he will give us life-changing experiences in our lives. What am I hoping that we can see and capture this morning based on this text and the benefits of being still? What are the benefits? Well, here are some of the benefits on the screen before you. If we could get still before God and quiet long enough to hear his whispering voice into our spirit man and woman, the greatest benefit is hearing him. Hearing the words of love. Hearing his words of direction and guidance for our lives. You have a tough decision to make about changing jobs, buying a new house, deciding what you're going to do next. Be still and be quiet before God. God just may give you the guidance that you need. And I even got an amen from K9. Hearing his words of direction and guidance, his words of comfort, his words of correction, being still before the Lord opens up a vista of opportunities to enhance our spiritual lives. But you see, friends, being still requires action on our part. It requires the intentional act of getting away from the noise and clutter in our lives, getting away from the stresses and the tension in our lives, getting away. And I know this is going to upset some people. Sometimes you just need to get away from people. You got to get away from people. You know why I know that? Jesus did it. He got away from the crowds. He got away from people. And here's a man that ministered to the multitudes. And even he knew he had to get away from people. You ever feel like you have to get away from people? No? I do. None of you people are here today, though. It's an intentional seclusion from everything that seeks our attention and pulls at us on a regular basis. It's an intentional effort and act to say, I need a break in my life. Or this body, this mind, is not going to be able to handle it. I don't care. People will say, well, if you have faith, no baloney. Jesus had more faith than we'll ever have, and he needed a break from people. He needed a time to get away and to be alone, even from his disciples, whom he loved so dearly. Certainly in the Gospels, we read that over and over again, that he modeled that before us and his disciples, to get alone and get away from the craziness and clutter of his world. So I want to ask you this in closing. How can we accomplish this discipline of being still before God? How can we do that? I want to just give you these quickies. Not going to spend a lot of time on them. Number one, plan that time and don't leave it up to something that you're going to squeeze into your schedule. Don't do that. Be intentional about it. Say, you know what? In the morning, when it's still and there's no noise, no phones, no nothing, I'm going to find a little bit of time to be alone with God. Maybe it's in the evening when the kids go to sleep or everything's a little bit quiet at night. Maybe it's a walk along the beach. You know what? Today, it's not going to take me a long time. I'm going to drive down South Ocean Avenue and I'm going to go take a 5-minute walk along the beach and I'm going to be still before God. I'm going to let that beautiful salt air just hit me and calm my frenzied life that I live each and every day. Number two, plan a place to be still. I just gave you a couple of examples. Number three, find spontaneous moments to find your still time, even if it's only 5 minutes, even if it's not scheduled. If you're in an environment, let's say you're at a church meeting and it's not going well. Now, I know that doesn't happen here, but I've been in some bad church meetings. I have to say, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'd go in a stall and I'd go, Jesus, help me to keep my mouth shut. Oh, God, I'm about to love somebody with a brick. Okay, Lord, help me. And then I'd go back in the meeting. Praise the Lord. How are you all doing? I just wanted to kill 3 of you in this meeting. Be spontaneous. Doesn't have to be scheduled. Use your still time to focus on God. Don't use it to think about your stocks and your bonds. Don't use it to think about, you know, what you're going to do or have for dinner that night. Use that 5 minutes to just focus on God. Try to think nothing apart from that when you're in your still time. Don't say, oh, you know what, I forgot to bring the clothes to the dry cleaners. Oh, no, I forgot to call the plumber. Because you know what happens, even with me, when I'm in prayer, I start thinking of other stuff. Did the Yankees win last night? Okay, I'll check Newsday in a minute. Sorry, Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be quiet and listen for God's answers. Okay? Be quiet and listen for God's answers. Because let me tell you something. Many times we will pray and we'll dump everything on God and we'll leave. We'll leave our still time. Stop for a minute, as Elijah did, and wait to hear from God, because God will answer you in the stillness, that small voice in your spirit, man and woman. Petition God. Ask God. Tell God what you're struggling with. Lord, I'm struggling with this and that. I need your help today. I want to keep my calm. I want to keep my peace. I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right thing at this meeting I'm going to. Petition God. And unless you're used to being still, and I know many of us aren't, start slow. Say, you know what? I'm going to be still for 2 minutes today. And then next week, maybe 3 minutes. And then the following week, maybe 5 minutes. Because if you try to sit there for an hour, you won't repeat it the next day. Start slow. Make it part of the discipline of your life each and every day. And lastly, listen for the one thing God is trying to say to you. Just listen for that still voice, that direction, that guidance, that correction that God's trying to speak into your spirit, man and woman. Something that needs to change in my life. And God will speak that to you. The practice of being still in the midst of a noisy world will truly benefit your life and mine. And above all else, it will honor God and strengthen our faith. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning. We live in a crazy world. We live in a noisy world. We live in a cluttered world. And sometimes from the minute we wake up to the time we put our heads on our pillows, it seems like we're on this treadmill that's going full speed. And we repeat that the next day and the next day. And I think you're speaking to us this morning as we enter this season of summer to slow the jets down a little bit. Lord, help remind us to slow it down, to be still before you, so that we can enjoy the beauty that you have placed before each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.